they're using body positivity, but I actually think what they're talking about is body satisfaction. I like how my body looks. Mm-hmm. I like how I feel in my body. I am satisfied with my body. Now, an untainted version of body satisfaction would not have anything to do with how you look, mm-hmm. right? It would have to do with how you feel in your skin. But diet culture does a really, really good job at marketing body image as body satisfaction. Yes, we have all the right tropes now of like, and if you care about your health, and if you care about, you know, feeling good in your body, then you should do said diet, you should do this thing because you're going to feel better.
Welcome back, my sisters, to It's Beyond the Food, the Feminist Wellbeing Podcast. I am your host, Stephanie Dauzier, non-diet nutritionist, certified intuitive eating counselor and cognitive behavior coach. And I earned my PhD in diet culture. And at the age of 40, after graduating of 25 years of dieting career, I said, hell no. And here I am 10 years later hosting a podcast with you here today. And I'm here to guide you on how to feel damn good about reshaping your mind instead of your body. In today's podcast, we're going to tackle, I like to say the word tackle, but we're going to talk with my guests about a trending issue that many of us in the field is seeing happening, which is people who say, quote unquote, well, body positivity didn't work. It was just an excuse for me to do nothing. It was just an excuse for me to be lazy. It forced me to validate myself as to why I wanted to take care of myself, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. We're starting to see an emergence of people who claim and state that in their life, body positivity didn't work. So I wanted to take this topic and unpack it with my guest, Bree Campos, otherwise known as Brianna Campos. She is the amazing, wonderful, compassionate educator behind the Instagram account called Body Image with Bree. She's a licensed mental health counselor, and she's passionate about all things body image and practices because just like me, that's her life. She lives in a fat body and she helps fat people live a better life. She specializes in body image education, including her own unique framework, which is body grief, which, by the way, if you scroll back up the feed on podcast 380, you will find an interview that I've done with Bree about the difference between body grief and body neutrality. Okay, my sisters, are you ready to unpack when body positivity doesn't work? Is that true? If so, why? And if it's not, what can we do instead? If you're ready to take this journey with me and Bree, let's do it. Welcome to the podcast, my dear friend, Bree.
Thank you for having me back. I'm so excited to chat.
The comments about our last episode 380 about body grief was one of our most popular recent episodes. And I wanted to talk about body positivity. I'm like, who can do this with me? Brain!
Let's do it.
So you posted a story a month ago in March about TV personality making claims or stating that body positivity doesn't work. And then we got started talking and I wanted to bring this conversation here. And so I'm going to ask you this question, just open it.
Yeah.
Does body positivity work, Bree? Let's open up that can of worms.
Let's do it. So I imagine that people who are listening to this episode probably already prescribe to a lot of what we're talking about. But just in case there's an outlier here who's like, I'm kind of new to this. I'm still stuck in that, like, I need to lose weight for my health. Listen, we are glad that you're listening to this conversation, and we want to just create another narrative in your brain because we've only been taught one narrative, and that is you have to pursue health. You have to pursue thinness. Otherwise, you know, something's wrong with you, right? You're bad if you exist in a larger body if you're not pursuing health. And that's not to say that we are not pro-health. We are just anti-eating disorder.
Sure, and pro-freedom and body autonomy. You do that, as long as you have choices, you do you, girl.
Yes, right? But make informed decisions, right? Yeah. Make your informed choice, not just based off of how is society going to treat me. So does body positivity work? I think we need to have a real, real conversation on what body positivity is.
Let's start there.
Do it. Let's do it. So the version of body positivity in the 2000s, 2010 is about like loving the skin you're in, right? And like every woman is a real woman and like real women have curves. That was not the genesis of the body positive movement. The genesis of the body positive movement actually started in the 60s, right? As early as the 60s. And it was created by fat, black, queer women who were protesting the treatment they were experiencing in their lived experience. Body positivity started as a social justice movement. And I don't know about you, but I know when I say this to clients, sometimes it makes them really uncomfortable of like, whoa, I don't know if I understand all of that. Body positivity as a social justice movement.
But we do need this education.
Yeah.
We do need to understand what is body positivity and what is body
satisfaction,
nurturing, and like what's the difference between the two? Because when we're consuming social media, can we just say that, and we see hashtag body positivity, It is in most cases problematic. It's co-opting a term that wasn't meant to be a thing of like hashtag body positivity.
It was never about loving the skin you're in.
No.
Right. And we do want you to love the skin you're in. I actually say to my clients, I would rather you love the person inside the skin. That is what I want you to work on. I want you to work on self-love. But, you know, you could Google and you'll get a bunch of definitions. So let's just start with like, what is body image, right? How do you define body image? For me, I define body image. I took this definition from confidentbody.net. That there are four aspects of body image. Oh, love it.
And I take the same thing.
I also love that too. Like, that was not the definition that I learned body image. Like, I learned body image is how you see yourself when you look in the mirror, right? And that there's positive and negative body image. I don't prescribe to that. The four aspects of body image are perception, affect, cognition, and behavior. So how do I view myself by perception? How do I feel about how I view myself? What are the beliefs that impact how I view myself and feel about myself? And most importantly, what does that cause me to do?
Yeah. Simplified it, mental, emotional, physical, or behavior, and then my perception of what I see in the reflection.
So what do you think the word is that people, like when they're saying body positivity? I have a word that I think it is, but I want to know what you think. What is it they're actually saying?
What I hear
is
this concept of body love and loving myself, that the solution, most people will recognize they don't want to diet, they don't want to starve themselves, they're tired of this. And then the gateway, the solution that's going to get me to stop this is to love myself.
Yes.
And from my perspective is because I'm a woman. Self-identified as a woman, because I've never heard a self-identified man say, I have to love myself. I have to love my body image. I'm sure it exists, but it comes out mostly out of the mouth of women.
And if we want to come back to the social justice movement, we want to talk about the patriarchy.
Yes.
We identify women in larger bodies as plus size women.
Yes.
But that's not how we identify men in larger bodies.
No.
We identify men in larger bodies as what? Big and tall?
Strong.
Right? Husky, right?
Pathetic. I was giving this example in one of my coaching calls this week. I'm like, we admire I think they're called backliner in footballs, like those big guy that protects the quarterback, the skinny guy, right? We call them athletes.
Yeah. So the word I would use to describe what people are saying, like they're using body positivity, but I actually think what they're talking about is body satisfaction.
Ooh, I love that. Yeah. Body love in meaning of being satisfied with my body.
I like how my body looks. I like how I feel in my body. I am satisfied with my body. Now, an untainted version of body satisfaction would not have anything to do with how you look, right? It would have to do with how you feel in your skin. But diet culture does a really, really good job at marketing body image as body satisfaction of, if you want to feel better about yourself, if you like, yes, we have all the right tropes now of like, and if you care about your health and if you care about, you know, feeling good in your body, then you should do said diet. You should do this thing because you're going to feel better.
And I'll piggyback on that. Other way of saying this, diet culture, society describe body image as a physical experience.
Ooh, say more about that.
Right? It's the perception of what our physical body looks like physically in 3D.
Yeah.
Yet we are more than a body. Ooh. We are a mental body. We are an emotional body. We are a spiritual body.
It's like what I'll say to my clients from a visual perspective, ADHD girly here, I have multiple different beverages on my desk, right? If I were to take this container and put it into this container, the content remains the same.
Yes.
You're indifferent.
One of that.
Right? And so I think we lose that because, you know, people want to have this conversation about health. And I said to somebody this week, why are we not screenshotting A1Cs then? Why are we not screenshotting, you know, I was talking about, I have more energy. No, we're doing before and afters. And so it's just being co-opted as I care about my health. Really, it is, I care about accessibility. Mm. I care about the privileges that I have when I exist with these privileges. And so I think that the people who are saying body positivity didn't really work for me is that they never learned how to love themselves or love the content in the cup. And so when the cup changed and society treated them differently, now they're able to say, oh, I like the container. The containers, I didn't really mean what I said.
And I saw, again, built on that, it's this idea, again, specifically, I'm a feminist, so we'll talk about women, right? So as women, we are socialized that the most important part of us, the most important container of us is our physical body, the way we look.
Of course.
Right? And then that's why diet culture does so well for women, because we are our body. So like we got to do things to look the way society tells us we need to look. And then when we do, we feel safe.
Yeah. And you know what I hear a lot of times, especially from people in the nutrition field who are like dietitians, nutritionists, they're like, my body is my business card. Like,
yes.
People will see me and think, you know, how can you help me if you're in a larger body? And I get that, right? As a therapist in a fat body who worked in eating disorder recovery, my biggest fear was that somebody was going to be like, you can't help my kid because you're fat. It's a real fear.
Yes.
We're going to celebrate that.
So when we think body positivity didn't work is because we stayed in the belief that we are a physical body.
Woo! This is like graduate level work for folks. They might be like this.
Oh yeah, sure.
Right? And if you are just coming to like, what is, you know, body positivity? This might feel like I'm not ready for that. And that's okay. But for those that are in this work or those that are like, wait, maybe weight loss will change me. Maybe these GLP-1s for weight loss, not for diabetes management, could help me change the way that I feel about myself. It is a trap. It is the diet culture trap. It is what we call in the business world a rebrand.
And it's often why we, so here's a comment that I see a lot. Body positivity doesn't work And it was an excuse for me to live in a state of unhealth.
There it is again, right? Of like, we're going back to health.
Yes.
And so that conception or that belief is that you cannot exist in a larger body and also be healthy.
That's the root cause. That's the real problem, people. That's why body positivity didn't work, is because we continued to carry on the belief that health equal weight.
Oh, can I read you something that I wrote the other day? I was getting so incensed because I feel like, especially in this work, you know, we want to talk about health. And I think that people think that because I'm anti-diet, that I'm anti-health. Right?
That's another assumption of body positivity.
So I wrote this thing. I said, everyone is concerned for my health, but nobody cared when I was 8 years old and the doctor told me that I was too fat and that I needed to exercise, eat fruits and vegetables, and not reward myself with dessert. Nobody cared what I ate or how I moved. I was on the soccer team. I was on the dance team. Nobody cared when I was in fifth grade and I intentionally stopped eating food because the girls in my class told me that I was fat. Nobody cared when I cried myself to sleep when I was in sixth grade because my supposed best friends told me that I would never get a boyfriend because I was fat. Nobody cared when I was in high school and I cried when I got a dance part in a musical and I emailed the director to tell her I thought I was too fat for the role because my counterparts were much thinner than me. Nobody cared that I was fainting when I was over-exercising. They still cared about my BMI. Nobody cared that I spent thousands of dollars in trying to lose weight, only to lose a little bit, to still hate my body, and for my blood work to not even change that much. Nobody cared that how fat I was and what I was going to eat took up 95% of my brain space, and that my body grieved me every day of my life. I felt like I was wearing a fat suit, and no one would get to know the real me that was underneath. And I just kept going, because it's like, if you really care about health, what is health? What does that mean? Is it just BMI? Is it just your blood work? What there's like mental distress, the history of self-hatred, right? Like think about being eight, fifth grade, sixth grade. Like, and imagine that little person feeling that. If that doesn't make you mad, we have to have a different conversation.
And I think it comes back to this socialization we've all received in, I don't know, modern society, that as human, we are our physical body, mm-hmm. right? We're not concerned with your mental health. We're not concerned with your emotional health.
We're not concerned with your self-esteem.
We're just concerned with your physical body.
Right? We just care about your BMI because we believe, or society teaches us, that there's a correlation between longevity of life and mm-hmm. body size. And there's a study, and I'll send it to you so you can link it in the show notes. Do you know what the longest predictor of longevity of life is?
Mental health. Is it?
No.
No.
Connection and relationships.
Whoa.
The article is called Genes Are Good, But Joy Is Better. It was a Harvard study that said the longest predictor of longevity of life was not weight, was not BMI, was not genetics. It was your relationships. Mm. And how does diet culture and shame isolate us from community?
Yeah. That's why body positivity doesn't work.
Whitewashed body positivity doesn't work.
Yeah. Well, so let's think about, okay, great point. So body positivity doesn't work in the context of healing your relationship to yourself and your body. How's that?
Yes. Yes.
It works from an activism, systemic social justice issue, because now people call it more fat liberation movement, the physical work.
Correct. And so I say that the body positivity people are talking about is really more about internal.
Yes.
What body positivity was intended to be was for the collective.
Yeah. You're solving the systemic issue
right. That
caused the suffering of the fat people.
Yes. And that when we get smaller, right, we regain privileges.
Yes.
We lost. That you are treated better by society. You're treated better by your doctors. That you have compliments that are coming in. They've told us for years to talk to our plants because that'll help them grow. How do you think that talking to yourself impacts your own growth, right? And how do we talk to ourselves around bodies, around, you know, people pleasing, around, for women listening, as being women, right? There's a book, Burnout. I don't know if you're familiar with Burnout by Emily and Amelia Nagoski. And they say that we struggle with human giver syndrome, that we identify as human givers, not human beings.
So let me say it again. The reason why body positivity doesn't work, we'll call it in the context of well-being at a human individual level, is because it doesn't solve the problem of how you perceive yourself into the world, being just a physical body instead of a mental, emotional, physical body.
Yeah.
Body positivity works extremely well in the context of systemic, political, governmental policy. That's where body positivity was created for and does very well.
Correct.
Could always do better in that. There's still many issues to be solved at that level.
For sure.
But we do the work. Our specialty in the context of this podcast is the individual level. So if body positivity is not the container for healing our relationship with our body and ourselves, what is? If body positivity, whitewash body positivity, is not the solution, healing the individual challenges, what is?
Self-esteem work.
Yeah.
Right? What is my self-efficacy? What is my belief in my ability to do things? How do I talk to myself? How do I treat myself? And how do I feel when I show up to a space? As somebody in a larger body, I used to show up to places and look for other fat people in the room because I didn't want to be the only one. I use the word cosplay, right? I would mask being a person of confidence because I wanted to come off as somebody who had confidence. And now there's an actual confidence there that you can tell me you don't like me, and I can take that and put it where it belongs, which is in the trash. Because I am no longer seeking validation from the world. I only seek validation from myself.
So the healing platform, if it's not body positivity, it's not loving your body, is to do the work of building up your self-esteem. I'll say untangled, building up your self-esteem, detach from what your physical body looks like. How's that?
Bingo. Absolutely. Absolutely. Because, right, so another fun scientific fact, you might know this, but how long does an emotion last?
Oh, 90 seconds, I think?
Yeah. 90 seconds, unless it's fueled by a story. If you tell me I don't like you, well, okay, that's your prerogative. But if there's a story of like, oh my God, Stephanie doesn't like me. Oh, I wonder why she doesn't like me. And there's this whole narrative attached to it. That's what causes the perseveration. That's what causes the stuckness.
In the CB cognitive behavior world, your thought creates your emotion. So if you have the thought or the perception and you process the emotion, it goes away. But if the thought comes and you keep telling yourself story, keep having thought, the emotion will keep being produced and then you call it being stuck.
Yeah. And I think it's so hard because sometimes we find evidence to support the story. That's why we stay stuck of like, well, but this is what my doctors are telling me. But this is what my parents are telling me. This is what science is telling me. This is what research is like. And what I will tell people is you cannot out-logic emotion.
Yeah.
Right? Sometimes emotions are going to be illogical. And so the way I do it, the way I have healed myself, the way I heal my clients is let's go back to the first age that you felt that. I want you to say the same thing that the world is telling you to that little person. And if you can't do it, we got to find a different way.
And that's what we went into podcast 380, which is body grief, that process.
Correct. So if 8-year-old me was upset about the doctor treating them that way, I'm not going to be like, you're fine. It's okay. Like, it doesn't, no, I'd be like, Yeah, that was wrong. That was absolutely wrong. And, you know, I understand that you don't want to be treated this way. The way you're being treated is wrong.
So, and I want to call in a story from yesterday. I was coaching a client yesterday who had been victimized in the doctor office, medical weight stigma, because of her blood pressure being high for the first time in 7 years. And what she skipped over, the reason why she was spiraling down for a couple of weeks now, was because she did not sit with the emotion of resentment and of shame that she experienced in that room. And those emotions were real. She was stigmatized. She was criticized. She felt shame. We need to be with those emotions. And guess what? Once we sat together on a call for 10 minutes, just being with that stuff,
yeah,
it went away. Yeah. We were able to talk solution then.
It takes some of the sting out of it, right?
Yes.
But what I also want to tell people, and I think this is probably one of the biggest mistakes I see providers make in this space, is we go right for the most activated story of like, let's unpack it.
Yeah.
If you are feeling a trauma response, which is fight, flight, freeze, or fawn, right? Fawn is that people-pleasing response, aka you go to the doctor and you say, I don't want to weigh myself. And they say, we need your weight. And you don't argue and you just get on the scale. Trauma response. I have my clients scale the distress. How distressful does this feel? Low, medium, or high? If it is a medium high, maybe we don't unpack it right now. Maybe the first thing we do is anchor into safety. Maybe the first thing we do is come back to this here and now moment so that a future version of ourselves can unpack that heavy trauma-infused moment.
We need to build the skill. We need to build the resilience to be able to unpack the big T, the big shit.
Yes, yes. And so I see, especially in women, right? We want to be resilient as fuck, right? We want to just be able to do the, and what I say to my clients is, you just need to be resourceful enough.
Yes. Right?
Like, it's like going into your attic and seeing all of the containers and being like, all right, let's dump everything out. And is chaos. So instead, I'm going to be there with you. You're going to be there. We're going to be like, let's pick one box. Let's pick one box to go through. Oh, this one's too heavy. Let's put this one back. Let's go to another one. We don't have to have it all figured out. And this is where I think that trap of, I don't know if I said this on 380, but I've had clients say to me, okay, Bri, I understand the skills. I understand the things I got to do. How long do I have to do this for? Like, how long do I have to do the body image work? And I say, for as long as you have a body.
And I'll go for the feminist part. As long as you live in a society that hates fat people.
Ooh, yes. Like, if we could just one day we will have an island all of our own and it'll be body positive people only. We'll have a team of, you know, professions of all kind. We'll live amongst each other. Until that exists, we have to live in a fat phobic world. And so it is not if you will be triggered, it is when.
Yes. And this is the self. I want to go back to the solution, right? I want to bring us back. The reason why we're talking about unpacking the boxes and the trauma and learning to be with our emotion, because that's how we build our self-esteem. Because remember, we said, if it's not body positivity, then it's building up our self-esteem, untangle from the way our body looks. And the way to build the self-esteem is through being able to be with our emotion and unpacking the boxes that we carry that pulls us down in our self-esteem ladder.
Yeah. I love that. And just that this idea of like that we have to unpack all of the, we have to carry all the boxes. I think we've been taught we have to.
Yes.
And so I'll say this to folks of like, let's carry it together.
Yeah.
I know that there's a collective box here.
So I'll go into my answer. It's self-esteem work, right? And for me, it also has the component of analyzing and rebuilding, handpicking our belief systems.
We have very similar approaches.
Name different things.
I love it. Yeah.
And I say it again. I appreciate that she has a different approach than me.
Yeah.
Like, I don't judge her for that. I don't criticize her. We blend it all together and we come up with magic.
And there are people, I think you could tell me if I'm wrong. You seem like you're a little bit more organized, maybe a little left brain. I'm very right brain. I'm very like,
Yes.
Like, right. And so there are people who are going to come to me and be like, no, I can't. This is too chaotic. And I'm like, I know the person to help you.
Yes. So let's talk about belief system. So if my self-esteem is not what the society has told me, which is my body as a woman who self-identified, my body is not what makes me feel valuable into the world. What is?
Yeah.
You have to determine that for yourself because you've been brought up your whole life thinking it's your body, your looks, your youthness. Yeah. So then what is? Mm-hmm. Right? What will define you as a person into this world?
And I'm sure you've learned from values work, right?
Yep.
We really have two or three core motivating values.
Okay.
That we function from. And so if thinness, physical aestheticness, and right, like health isn't your top three, then why are we pursuing those things? Why are those coming to the top of our to-do list? And what I think that comes back to is an attachment wound, right? Is coming back to the fear of not belonging.
Otherwise said in my world, the safety of conformity.
Woo!
You know, like it's the same thing.
Yeah.
That's going to keep me safe. Looking young, looking thin is going to keep me safe from rejection.
Yeah. And let's talk about safety, right? To me, safety is a construct. Like there's intentionality, right? We don't run out in the middle of traffic. We lock our doors. There's things that we can do. But what I find for a lot of people is that when they feel that safety being threatened, we seek control because something is feeling out of our control.
And as a woman, control comes through our body and the way we look.
Mm-hmm. And what we eat, how we move, all of these other components. If I can control this, and it's a, you know, it's a trap because there's no there there. And Sonia Renee Taylor talks about this. The body is not an apology. I don't remember if this is in her book or if it's in one of her interviews that she says, but she goes, you know, the ideal beauty, the beauty myth is like a ladder. And we know that there is no arriving, that you have two choices. You can climb the ladder knowing you're never going to reach to the top. It's never going to be enough. Or you can choose not to climb the ladder.
And I say that because I'm 49. So I'm going through the ageism combined with fat, like sizeism, like I'm entering a new ism.
Yeah.
And I see all the my colleague, my people my age who are now having another set of box to carry, which is no longer just the size of my body, but how many wrinkles I show.
Yeah.
And it gets heavier and heavier and heavier.
No pun intended. Yeah.
Because I'm defining my self-esteem to the beauty ladder to what Sonia's work is. So I got to keep figuring out the next ladder to climb because now I'm 49. Now it's the wrinkle, not only the size, but the wrinkle.
Yeah. It's like body dysmorphia, right? Like when it's, okay, well, I get to get this wrinkle, but now I have this thing over here. And we keep chasing that. The goalpost keeps changing.
Okay. So let's recap. Body positivity doesn't work because it doesn't address the root issue, which is self-esteem.
Yeah.
Because as women, we are conditioned to think that our value into this world, our self-esteem is attached to the way we look. That's one of the many things, but
yeah.
Our physical body. So we have to do the work to build our worth, our self-esteem outside of our body. And we have to redefine what makes us valuable into this world. And it's a choice that we have to make.
Yeah.
Did I forget anything?
No, I think the only other thing is that if there was a pragmatic solution, you and I wouldn't have jobs, first of all.
Well, I just wrote a post. I'm like, yo, people, I'm working myself out of a job. Like, that's my goal.
That's my goal, too. I want you to put me out of a job. But as long as we live in a fatphobic world where health, quote unquote, health and external beauty is elevated above all else, we will have a place here because we are going up against messaging. I don't know if you know this. This doesn't have to be this episode, but there was an article published about how much marketing the GLP-1 companies had in 2023. Do you know how much?
No, but I saw a documentary 2 days ago on that, coincidentally. Tell me, hit me.
$500 billion.
So for people, GLP, we're talking about weight loss drug, which is the prior like episode we just did on Oprah. GLP is a weight loss drug.
They are diabetes management being used for weight loss drugs, right? This is what's being pushed is the FDA has only approved two of the drugs for diabetes management. And the people who have diabetes can't get them because they're being pushed as weight loss management. Yes, but those, they had $500 billion in marketing in 2023. That is what the beauty industry made in 2020 when the world was shut down in a pandemic.
That's crazy.
Right?
Can I bring us to another angle of why body positivity doesn't work and why it caused so much suffering? Can we talk about motivation? I don't know where I'm going with that yet. It's not a concept, but it's germinating in me. One of the reasons I see people struggling with body positivity and when they think about accepting their body is they don't know how to motivate themselves any other way than by self-loading, beating the shit out of themselves. So now they're like, okay, I'm going to quit diet culture. The only way I know how to care for myself, how to motivate myself to do moving my body, whatever, is by beating the shit out of myself. So now I'm into this body positivity space and weight loss is not there anymore. And I don't do anything for myself. So the problem is body positivity. But in fact, the problem is you do not know how to motivate yourself from a place of love.
Yeah. And let's talk about motivation, right? So I'm sure you understand motivational interviewing. We are all motivated by different things. And so motivation by punishment does not actually, it's not an internal motivation and it's an external motivation. And I'm gonna use an analogy from Parks and Rec, one of my favorite TV shows. They are doing this training and one guy is like, I'm going to motivate people using fear and intimidation. And the other one's like, I'm going to use positive reinforcement. And what they found is that the guy did quote unquote more work. This is Jerry. He did more work under the fear and intimidation, but he did it wrong. Mm-hmm. He did less work, quote unquote, under the positive affirmations, but he did it right. So fear is a powerful motivator. It just is not sustainable.
It's short term. And that's what we see in the diet cycle, right? It works until it doesn't.
Yes, exactly. Exactly.
So part of the work we have to do when we leave diet culture is rebuild our self-esteem, lack of a better word, build up our self-esteem outside of what our body looks like and learn a new way to motivate ourselves to do the things we choose to do to care for ourselves.
Yes. And what I would say to somebody who, you know, especially if you're a little bit more of that left brain and you like, you know, rules and order and structure, and then you come into intuitive eating and body positivity and you're like, wait, there's no rules. The rules are made up and the points don't matter. And you're just like, I don't know how to do this. I get it, right? And I want you to think about the first time you felt food or shame about your body. And if you would not use shame as a motivator for that little person, it's not going to be an effective motivation for you now. I would never say to my niece, I'll tell you an example. It was 2020. I had my business accidentally exploded. It was maybe 2021. I don't remember. Time is irrelevant. And I'm pretty sure I had COVID, but it was pre the time of testing. Okay. And I had some cohorts running and I'm in therapy and I'm sick as a dog. My therapist is like, girl, you need to cancel your sessions. And I was like, over my dead body. I will not cancel. She was like, why? I was like, because these people are counting on me. And she was like, would you ever feel anger for somebody canceling because they're sick? I'm like, no. And so I'm laying there and I'm like yelling at myself, I'm like, get better. And I had to say to myself, would you say this to your goddaughter? Mm. If she was laying there sick, would you be like, buck up, get better so you can go to work? No. And it wasn't like this aha moment of like, wow, I need to treat. I was like, okay, I guess I can't speak to myself this way. Like, this is not working. So maybe I'm not going to lean into that compassion of, I love you. You're great. It was like, okay, I'm just not going to be a dick to myself. I'm just not going to go down the same path of beating myself up. That is two things. One, building awareness. And two, choosing a new pathway. And it didn't feel easy. It didn't feel innate. I was resistant to it. Fast forward, this year, I was hosting a masterclass, a joint masterclass, opened it up, randomly got the stomach virus, immediately reached out to my team. I was like, you got to cancel this, reschedule, refund who you need. I'm out. I can't do it. And I was like, wow, what a difference. Now, 4 years later.
I know, 2024.
Right. So I'm like, wow. But because I built that awareness and I created a new pathway, I carved it out. It wasn't easy. Now that pathway is much easier.
You made it safe to be nice to yourself.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because that culture doesn't teach us. And again, we're talking to women who've been through cycles and cycles of diet culture and punishing themselves. Doing things out of love and care for ourselves is not safe. It's actually unsafe. Like, just think emotional eating. How many people fear emotional eating when all it is, emotional eating, is a coping mechanism to feel safe?
Like, why is that so bad?
Because you're going to get fat. Come on. That's why emotional eating is bad.
I mean, think about babies, right? They seek self-soothing all the time. Are we like, oh, no, baby, you can't self-soothe because you're going to get fat?
Do you want a better example? And you're welcome to borrow it. Think about running, like excessive running. How many people do excessive running, or they say, I'll go for a run to, I don't know, to pass through my emotion. I'm frustrated, so I'll go for a run. It's acceptable as a society to go for a run to process your emotion, but to eat to process your emotion is unacceptable. What's the difference?
Oof.
Healthism and fat phobia, right? It's one risk.
That's so good. And what I would say is, like, right, they're not, it's not good or bad. It just is. And if you say, all right, without judgment, right, 90 seconds, I'm going to do this thing, and I'm going to do it without judgment. Did I get what I needed from that? Objectively, did I feel better? Did it provide me the relief that I needed? I know that for me, like, a warm cup of coffee can change my entire day. It just makes me so happy. And I also know that there are times I probably drink more coffee than I quote unquote should, because then I'm not drinking water or it's impacting my sleep. But I'm not a bad person. I'm not a criminal if I choose to drink the coffee instead of the water. But it is the awareness and it is the lack of judgment that can create the opportunity for healing.
Let's wrap that back to motivation. So in order for you to be able to be motivated to care for yourself mentally, emotionally, physically, and spiritually, because we're more than a physical body, we need to reteach our brain or relearn to make action, health, habit, whatever you want to call it, from a place of love instead of a place of shame.
Yes. And autonomy of, I want to do this, and I'm not a good or a bad person if I do or don't do this.
Let's talk about, that's what I call my world, power.
Ooh!
Right? It's like moving from I have to move my body because that's what science says, versus I want to move my body because da-da-da-da-da-da.
Oof. And it says nothing about me if I do or I don't.
No.
And this is where I think when we start to do more of this work, we start to peel back more of those isms, right? So I did a live on, I was going through the Miami airport after my retreat, and there was a person walking by with a wheelchair, and they were like, would you like a wheelchair? Because I was clearly struggling, and I said, nope. And I thought in that moment, I'm like, all right, there's probably something I could unpack here. I don't have the capacity to do it right now. I'm going to put that on ice. I'll come back to it. And when I did come back to it, what I realized was it was still rooted in that ableism of, I shouldn't need this. Now, if I were to go to the airport today, it's April 2024, I still don't know if I would, quote unquote, let myself. That is awareness. Who knows how I'll feel in 4 years from now? I'm creating that awareness for the opportunity for change. And the reason we were going through the Miami airport, the AirTran that's supposed to get you from one place to another, was down. So there was no other option for me. And so instead of getting mad at myself for needing an accommodation, why am I not mad at the system? Why don't they have some golf carts for people who are like, and there's also work for me internally of, and why do I judge myself? I would never judge any of my clients. I would never judge you, but it was a personal, it's a personal ism of, wow, I still have some unprocessed internalized ableism that I need to work through.
But that's power, because you gave yourself the opportunity to say no and like work through it. And you may still want to say no, or you may want to still, you're in your power to make the choice that you want.
I love that. That's good.
And I'll share another example for people listening to this. So I've been very public with my journey back to moving my body. And it took four and a half years of not moving my body at all. Like to say, like, I'm done.
Wow.
And like the only movement I had was like my couch to my desk and like random things.
That's where I'm at right now.
Right. So 4.5 years of allowing myself the autonomy to say, nope, don't want to do it.
Wow.
Right. To then put me in like a full place of autonomy and choice and say, okay, what do I want to do?
I love that. And I'm in that place now of like, okay, I'm still trying to heal my relationship with movement. And I used movement as a social currency, as a, I'm a good fatty. And so in the pandemic, when I lost that, I needed to give myself full autonomy not to. I don't make decisions about not doing things though, based off of my ability, right? So I'm going to go to Costa Rica and I might need an accommodation. I might need to take a break. I was at the mall the other day. My low back was hurting. I was with my friend. I was like, I'm so sorry. I have to stop and stretch really quick. Like, it's been a minute. There's no judgment when that happens. And that makes it so much easier to be in my power to make that autonomous decision.
How did you get to a place of non-judgment in order to allow for a sustainable long-term motivation?
Beautiful. First, through a lot of shame and judgment. And feeling that and feeling a trauma response of, oh my God, oh no, I cannot do this thing that I once was able to do. And this is so bad. And I'm feeling a distressed response of like panic over not being able to move. And I moved it from this, okay, I'm experiencing this feeling, to what is the story I'm telling myself? Mm. And it revealed the beginning layers of my internalized ableism, and that I needed to get to a place where I am not more worthy, more deserving of medical treatment, more deserving of love and acceptance based on my ability.
It's by being with the shame, being with the emotion of it and allowing it to be there. Is that it?
When I was ready, right? Like I had to build up to it. Yeah.
Which box? Oh, we'll go back to the box. Like when you're ready to pick up that box.
Yeah. Yeah. But, and this is all what I'll say too is, you know, because my community is like, okay, Brie, you keep telling us to put down the box, but what if the box keeps coming up? I'm like, well, then we might want to work through it. And that's what was happening is I kept getting accosted by my lack of ability and the story that I attached to it. So I said, okay, I'm going to have to work through this if I want to create healing space through it. And as you can see, there's still layers of this that are, you know, stuck. And this is why body image work is a forever job. As long as we live in a patriarchal, fatphobic society, as long as we have a body, we will have to continue to pull back the layers.
So I'm called in to sum up this. Body positivity doesn't work because body positivity was, first of all, a social justice movement, and it's still a social justice movement to deal with the anti-fatness bias of society and the poor treatment of fat people. It was never meant to be a therapeutic model to make peace with ourselves and make peace with our body and truly love the complexity of who we are, mental, emotional, spiritual, and physical. And the real solution, if it's not body positivity, the real solution is self-esteem work, building up our value into the world, detached from only be it our physical body, and choosing love at every corner.
Oof.
How's that?
Beautiful.
Like, it's never by being mean to ourselves, by beating the shit out of ourselves, by being critical of ourselves, that we will end up being at peace with our body. So every moment of choice where you're about to, quote unquote, shit on yourself, you got to collect yourself and give yourself the opportunity to actually be nice and loving to yourself.
I absolutely love that. I want to end with this anecdotal story. So I know some people really struggle with the idea of being in relationship with your body. Oh, they're like, I don't want to be in relationship with my body. The reality is you have a relationship with your body, regardless of what you think that relationship is. So I had a client once and I was like, tell me the kind of relationship you'd like to have with your body that feels realistic. And she said, like, somebody that I work with who annoys the shit out of me, who I cannot be mean to because otherwise HR is going to fire me. And I said, great, I'll be HR. Okay, I'll be HR reminding you, you cannot be mean to them or we're going to have problems, right? And it was a tangible thing that she could do because of being her body's best friend or being, you know, being her body's, that felt so out of reach for her. But having an annoying employee that you, and I said, I want you to not just tolerate them. Mm-hmm. That's where we start. We can do that. And if you want to get into like therapeutic modalities, there's parts work, right? There's a reason that you don't like that person. There's something in them that is activating you. And if we can figure out what that is activating you, maybe you will be activated less.
Amazing example. I'm going to ask you, what is your intentional thinking? I'll say mine. And then you say your personal one. Are you willing? Or
absolutely. Absolutely.
So my relationship to my body, in order, like, for me to get where I am, my pathways was, my body is a tool for me to live my best life as I define it.
Wow.
That's mine. What was yours?
For me, healing my relationship to my body was that I wanted to be the same loving, compassionate, protective person I am to other people, to myself. I am a fierce friend. If, you know, someone was mean to my niece, I would literally go to jail for her. And that's not even me. Like, I am like, I don't want to cause conflict. But you're mean to someone I love and I will destroy you. And that still doesn't feel attainable to me in a lot of ways. So I have to figure out, how do I advocate for myself in a way that feels good to me?
Thank you for sharing that. And people, as she gave her client's perspective, I gave mine, I give yours. I want to say, like, there's not one way.
No.
There's not one way. That's the beauty of this. And that's the work. And all of that deep work is not what body positivity teach on the internet. It's not what it's. And that's why it's problematic. That's why people say, well, body positivity didn't work, is because all that shit we've been talking for an hour is not being worked on or done or healed by simply doing hashtag body positive.
Yeah. Yeah. If it's just a hashtag, it's not going to work.
No.
Yeah.
Thank you, Bree.
Thank you for having me. What a great discussion this was. I really appreciate it.
Hey, my sisters, if you are loving what you are learning on the podcast, you have to come and check out our feminist mentorship masterclasses and our internationally recognized non-diet coaching certification on our website at www.stephaniedote.com/shop. This is where you can get the individual coaching and the support to take the concept thought on the podcast to the next level, embrace our well-being in a way that will expand our collective freedom and power. Come and join myself and other women to learn how to reshape your mind, not your body. I'll see you there.